Good morning, Encounter Life Church. It's so good to see you all today. My name is Pastor Devin Turner. I'm grateful to be with you. I pastor the amazing Revolution Church in Washington, D.C., and I'm so grateful and honored to spend these few minutes with you this morning. I've known your pastor, Dwayne McKinney, for a number of years, his sister and his dad, his mom. You have such an amazing pastor, such an amazing family, the McKinneys. Thank you all so much for having me. And with these next few minutes we have together, I'm just going to take a moment to talk with you all today about behave. And so before we talk about behave, let's just take a moment to pray over the word, and then we'll dive right into the word. Let's do that together. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we just come before you and thank you for this moment. Would you bless me as I share the word? But more so, would you bless Encounter Life Church as they are receiving this word today? May it be a relevant word, a rhema word, just for what they need to hear. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm streaming to you all live in my basement here in Northeast DC, and we're going to talk about the word behave. And if you look at the graphic here on the screen, the word behave has another word at the beginning of it. It's the word be, because who we are or who we claim to be often is influenced or revealed by how we behave. And so the old saying goes, you are what you eat. And, you know, another saying that comes to mind is, you are what you do. In other words, people know what's on the inside with your thoughts and your emotions based on what comes out of you, your actions. And that's not an idea or a theory that I came up with. It's actually something that Jesus talks about very, very clearly. Jesus said in the Bible, he said, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what we understand is that when we say things and we do things, it's often a big influence by what we are thinking and what we're processing. And so we have a focus point this morning that I want to share with you on the screen. And before we go any further in our talk today, I want you to zoom in on this focus point. Here it is. Our focus point for this morning is this: until there's a change in the way I think, there will be no change in the way I behave. Until there's a change in the way I think, there will be no change in the way I behave. Now, when I was a kid, my mom used to tell me all the time, Devin, when we out in public, you better behave yourself. You better behave. And if your mom was like my mom, she wanted you to be on your best what? Behavior. Now, when we talk about behave, we're talking about our actions. We're talking about things that are happening on the inside of us that are coming on the outside of us. But until there's a change on the inside, there will be no change on the outside. An old saying that comes to mind right now in Encounter Life is this: if you try to change somebody's habit without changing the heart, it's not going to make it. If you try to change the habit without changing the heart, it's not going to make a change happen. And what I found is that when I had people in my life trying to change my behavior, but within my emotions, within my soul, within my thoughts, I did not genuinely feel that way. I did not genuinely want to do that thing. I did not genuinely want to be in this place. It was just me performing or pretending in the moment. But in the deepest parts of my being, I remained the complacent, the stubborn, the arrogant, same space I was. And that's where we are, a lot of us, if we can be honest, Encounter. We find ourselves where God is wanting us to do something. And it's like a tug of war between our desires and God's desires. God's saying, go over here. And we're like, no, God, I want to go over there. And we're like, God's saying, no, I need you to do this. And it's like, no, God, but my thought life is telling me I need to be doing that. And we find ourselves kind of anchored in our own thoughts, anchored in our own emotions. And that behavior is disobedience. And when God wants us to do what he's put us on earth to do, we can't move from the anchors in our minds and in our hearts because we have this crux that we're stuck on. And our focus point today will help us to be free from that today. Our focus point, again, if you don't remember anything else, is this: until there's a change in the way I think, there will be no change in the way I behave. Now, without thought change, there is no heart change. And where there is no heart change, there is no habit change. I'll say that again. Without thought change, there is no heart change. And where there's no heart change, there's no habit change. So for all my sisters that are trying to get your husbands to behave differently, for all my parents that are trying to get your children to behave differently, for all the children that want your parents to behave differently, there has to be a change in the thinking and a change in the emotional process before the actions can have any fruit. And so these are not my thoughts. These are God's thoughts. And we're going to dig into the word in just a moment. But before we do, some of y'all might be thinking, Pastor Devin, I came to see Pastor Dwayne McKinney. Why should I spend time listening to what you got to say about this whole thing about behave and the heart and the habit and all that kind of stuff? Here's why you should listen for the next few minutes. If we don't hear what God has to say about this today, if we're not careful, we run the risk of continuing to hit the ceiling of our own complacency, of our own stinking thinking, of our narrow thinking, and we will never move forward into the full magnitude of God's destiny for our lives. Have you ever met somebody that's 30, but they act and think like they're 13? Maybe you've dated someone like that. Dang, you're so immature. When are you gonna grow up? You ever met an adult that behaved like a child? What happens oftentimes is this: people have this narrow-mindedness in stinking thinking, that they're anchored in the stinking thinking, and they're so narrow-minded, they can't move into the uppermost aspects of God's will for their lives because they're stuck in immature thinking, stuck in immature conduct. Now, I'm here in this low basement in DC, in this ceiling, my hand keeps hitting, because I can't break through with the same narrow mindset. I need God to help me break through in here so I can have a breakthrough out here. I'm gonna say that again. I need God to help me have a breakthrough in here so I can have a breakthrough out here. A lot of us want breakthroughs in our marriages, in our finances, in our parenting, in our interactions with our siblings, with our dating relationships and everything else, education, academics. But if I can't get out of the mental rut with my academic problems, if I can't get out of the mental rut with my bad spending habits, I will not have a breakthrough on the outside where I get good credit. I will not have a breakthrough on the outside where I have good communication with my spouse or my children. So God has to do a work on the inside of us, and we have to open up and be willing to let God operate. God has to break through the narrow ceiling and the narrow thinking that we are established to and we have a proclivity to listen to, so that God can change our behavior, because we will be more like the Savior. God will change our behavior because on the inside, we will be more like the Savior. Focus point before we get to the scriptures: until there's a change in the way I think, there will be no change in the way I behave. All right, everybody, if you got a copy of the Bible, open to Romans chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 1. And here's what the Bible has to say today. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Rome, and he says this: "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God," whoo, that's powerful, church, "let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you what? Think." Let's stop right there, everybody. Everybody, I need you to pay attention really quickly, because this is so important. The Bible tells us, don't copy the behaviors of this world. Don't copy the pattern of this world. The thing we need to understand is that God is warning us not to duplicate or replicate what we observe non-believers doing. But too often we find ourselves, if people that are not Christ followers are having a bad attitude at the job, we got a bad attitude too. The same way that other people are responding to their parents, being disrespectful, being disobedient, yo, we doing the same thing. The same way that people are lashing out in anger or malice or gossip and talking about people or lying and going behind people's backs, we do the same stuff. And the Bible is telling you and I that if we want a breakthrough on the outside, there has to be a breakthrough or a change on the inside. And the first step is that we have to change the way we think. Verse 2 told us, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let. Somebody right there where you are, say let. One more time, say let. Okay. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, here's what we have to understand. We see that word let. That is a powerful word in the scriptures. That means that you have the opportunity and the power to either let God transform you or not let God transform you. Don't miss that, church. If someone was knocking at my door, I go to the door. I say, who is it? The dude says, it's the Holy Spirit. Right? If I want to let the Holy Spirit come in, I have to unlock the door and open it. And if I don't want to let the Holy Spirit in, I will keep my door locked and walk away. In the same way that I have the power and the authority to let someone in my home through my door or to tell them they got to stay on the porch or get off my property, we have the same ability. Now, some of y'all may say, well, Pastor Devin, I thought, you know, God is all powerful. Yes, God is all powerful, but don't get it twisted. He is all powerful, but God loves to be where he's celebrated and not where he's only tolerated. Don't miss that. See, God is everywhere at one time. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at one time. So he is always present. But when he wants to get into your business, when he wants to get into your relationship life, when he wants to get into your social circles, when he wants to get into your entertainment and what you enjoy with having fun, when he wants to be involved in the conversation at the water cooler or at the workplace, or on your downtime, on your social media, or when you're texting or in the phone conversation, and you're like, nah, God, I ain't gonna let you in that. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. But when I'm on TikTok, that's just me and, you know, the people on TikTok. When I'm with my friends, I'm with my friends and I do with my friends what I do with my friends. You know what I'm saying, God? But I'll holler at you next time I need a prayer. And say, all right, God, I holler. Cool. And we find ourselves playing this game with God where we only want God to come in when we're in trouble. So it's the equivalent to me letting bad people in my home. They tell them we're going to party, have a house party, have a good time. And then they tear up my house. And then I got to call and say, hey, Holy Spirit, hey, I want to let you in to get them out of here. But when God is knocking at our hearts and our consciences saying, hey, spend more time with me. Hey, spend time in prayer with me. Hey, these ain't the right kind of people to be hanging with. Hey, I caution you against dating this person. Hey, this ain't the best financial decision to make right now. Hey, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. But I want to keep up appearances, God. I want to be like them. I want to be like them. And God is saying, no, be like him. Be like him. No, I want to be like them. We make these poor choices by copying the behavior of the world. And then when all the stuff that we've let in lets us down, then we want to let God in. Focus point. If you don't remember anything else we talk about this morning, remember this. Until there's a change in the way I think, there will be no change in the way I behave. Let's get back to it. Verse 3. Oh, let's finish verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then, somebody say then. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. See, you want to know God's will for you. You say, God, what's your plans for my finances? God, what's your plans for my children? What's your plans for my marriage? What's your plans for my relationship with my family members? God is saying, first, change the way you think, right? Let me work on that, and I will give you a new persona, a new identity. I will change the way you think, and then that's the prerequisite. Then you will learn to know my will for you. But see, we can't learn to know God's will until we're willing to let God change the way we think. Because if God told us his will before our thoughts were changed, we'd be like, God, you crazy. You want to use me to do what? You call me to do what? And so the first step is that it has to be a mind change that leads to an emotional change that leads to an assignment given. The will of God revealed to you in your life. Let's keep going. Verse 3, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. Let's stop right there. Some of us, we need to hear that word this morning because we just think we all that, right? We think we so cute. We think we so cool. We so fly. We so dope. You know, I swear I got that drip. You know what I'm saying? You know, my shape up always good. You know, I keep my head nice. My makeup is all that. You know, my body is boom, boom. I work out. You know, I got everything going, right? And we find ourselves thinking we all that. And the Bible tells us that we should have a modest perspective of ourselves. The way we think of ourselves should be modest so that the way we perceive ourselves will be humble. We can be humble before the Lord and God can use us. Have you ever had an arrogant person try to help you? Don't they always make it about them? Hey, man, you need some help with something? Because you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm like the best out here. You know what I'm saying? Can't nobody help you like I can help you. You know what I'm saying? So if you need some help, you know who to call because, you know, I got employee of the year. You know what I'm saying right here? So if you need some help, you just let me know, dog, and I come back around. I can hook you up. Bruh, I just need my tire change. You know what I'm saying? Speaking of tire changes, man, I change all the tires. You know, J-Lo came through here one time, man. I changed the tire, man. And you know, oh, man, you know what I'm saying, man? Even Will Smith one time, I was in Vegas. He got a flat. He said, yo, who know how to fix his tire? I came through and fixed Will Smith's tire. And so we find ourselves with these people that even when they're trying to help us, they're really helping themselves to a huge heaping pile of self-exaggeration. And the Bible wants you and I to understand that we should have a modest evaluation of ourselves. We should measure ourselves by the faith God has given us, not to think too highly of ourselves. Change the way you think. Right encounter life, we got to change the way we think. Let's keep going. So let's get to verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Different gifts for doing certain things well. Let's stop right there. You ain't going to be great at everything. You can't do everything. If you're an entrepreneur and you're starting your business, you might be good with the vision of the company, but you might need some execution on the administrative side or help with the financial stewardship side. You can't do everything well. It's okay to do the best you can when you're starting out a business, of course, but as the business grows, you're going to need to leverage some other help, get some training, or even hire out some people to help you to do what's in your heart and in your mind to do. Some of us, we just need to really be honest with ourselves and say, you know what? We want to sign up for all the ministries in Encounter Life Church. We want to serve on this ministry. We want to serve on that ministry. We say, well, why Pastor Dwayne ain't picked me for this? You know, I'm already serving over here. And, you know, I'd be great over there, too. And I'd be great right here, too. You can't do everything. That's why we're a body. The hand can't say to the feet, I don't need you because you don't walk on your hands. Now, some of y'all probably can walk on your hands. That would be interesting. But your hands weren't made to be walking on. Your hands are made to grab and hold. Your feet were made for walking. So in the same way, the Bible gives us this metaphor that the church is like a body and the body has many parts. And if you think that you're one thing that you're not, you might malfunction and hurt something. If the hand wants to start functioning like a foot and you're walking on your hands a lot, your hands are like probably going to get bent up over time and going to get all kind of crinkled up. And then, you know, what you going to do with your feet? You going to try to drink coffee with your feet? Have you ever tried to drink a hot cup of coffee with your feet? It will not end well. So we have to remember that that metaphor is there for a reason. We're the body of Christ. There's many parts and many gifts, and we all can't do everything. So we have to respect that some people can do things better than we can, and some people are just called by God to do other things that we're not. We got to be okay with that. That Sister so-and-so is called to that ministry and I'm called to this ministry, and I need to be content with who I am in Christ and who God has made me to be. Focus point. If you don't remember anything else we talk about this morning, remember this encounter life. Until there's a change in the way I think, there will be no change in the way I behave. Let's get back to the scriptures in Romans chapter 12. The body's got many parts. Verse 6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. Let's just stop right there. Some of us just keep waiting for a minister or an elder or some ministry church leader to acknowledge us so we can get the official title so then we can start moving in our gift. If you have the gift, do it. but you know, so-and-so didn't acknowledge my gift. If you have made it known that you have an interest in a ministry that exists or doesn't exist, and you haven't been selected to serve in that role, don't be bitter. Just do what God's called you to do. Social media is a great place for you to exercise some of your gifts. Talking to your family members is a great place to exercise some of your gifts. One-on-one conversations with coworkers is a great place to exercise your gift. But some of us are like, nah, I need to be on the big stage though. You know, I went to ministry school. You know, I went to Bible college. You know, I took this class. You know what I'm saying? So, I had this vision where I saw myself up there and I was doing all this stuff for God, you know? So I hear what you're saying, Pastor Devin. I hear what you're saying, but that's for them. But what's for me and mine's, man, I'm supposed to be up there on the big stage. If that's the way you're thinking, you are rooted and anchored in bad behavior. You're rooted and anchored in bad thinking, because we just read in the scriptures, the Bible says, if you have that gift from God, use it. The problem is some of us only like to use our gifts when we can be seen by certain people. You don't need a church building or a stage or a platform to do these things that God's called you to do. You can do this by interacting one-on-one discipleship with everyday people that you see on a regular basis, on public transportation, at the job, family members, even Zooming with people, social media interactions, phone calls, texts. You can give, you can encourage, you can teach, you can do all that from your home, from your smartphone, from your place of business. But some of us, we want the limelight. And then we start lying while we're in the limelight, saying that it's about God, when it's really about us. The Bible tells us, if you got these gifts, use them. Do it. Let's keep going. Verse 8, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showering kindness to others, do it gladly. Verse 9, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Let's just stop right there. Wow. You know, God put that in the Bible for a reason. Have you ever had somebody pretend to love you? Like, they love you as long as you can provide some value to them. But their love has a whole lot of prerequisites, and it's got a whole lot of clauses. It's like a legal document. It's like, you know, I love you if this and if that and if this and if that. Well, the Bible tells us as Christ followers, as Christians, that we should not pretend to love others, but that we should really love them. And if we're really loving people, it doesn't matter who acknowledges us on a stage or a church or a ministry. We just need to be disciples of Christ in the community. We need to be disciples of Christ in our homes. We need to have godly interactions with our spouses. If you're married to someone who's not saved, you name calling them and trying to drag them into the building, take what you're learning in the building and share it with them in loving, kind ways. You don't have to go through a bunch of ministry classes and trainings to do this. This is obedience to God. And when your thoughts change and your emotions change, your actions toward these things we're talking about will change. I'm not knocking getting training or going to Bible college or anything like that. But what I'm saying is some of us are not moving at all into what God has called us to do because we're waiting on a certification or a degree or some man or woman's acknowledgement of what God has already told us we need to go do. Be like Nike. Just do it. Let's get back to the scriptures. Verse 9, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. When God changes the way that you think, you will be, let's take a look at it on the screen, more humble. When we look at these verses here, verses 3 through 5, we're more humble. When we look at verses 6 through 8, we serve with our giftings. And when we look at verses 9 through 10, we love genuinely. And so these are the areas. When you go back and look at the passage on your own time, Verses 3-5 talk about being more humble. When your thoughts change, your attitude changes. Next, you will serve with your giftings. And listen, listen, listen. I know that we're in the pandemic. And again, the pandemic has some benefits. And here's why. My little timer's going off. Bam. Got a few minutes left. In the pandemic, we're learning and realizing that we serve with our giftings. Even though the building is closed, the church isn't closed. Even though the building might be closed, the church is not closed, right? Because the church is not a building. The church is the people that gather in the building. And when it comes to serving with our giftings, God needs us to be kind. He needs us to be encouraging. He needs us to keep giving. He needs us to teach. He needs us to preach. He needs us to do all the spiritual gifts that he's put inside of us. Even though the building is closed, even though there's no stage to be seen on, people still need to be saved. People still need to be encouraged. People still need to hear the word of God. People still need prayer. The ministry must continue. And the last one here, verses 9 through 10, when God changes the way you think, you will love genuinely. Not artificially, but genuinely. Some of us have church hurt. We've been in church environments or church experiences where people said they loved us and then something went down. We did something or someone that we know did something that the church person didn't like or the church people didn't like. And the church people just banished us or bad mouthed us, talked about us, wrote us off. That's artificial love. We have to love people like Jesus loves. Jesus loves us so much that he died on a cross for our sins, knowing that we would ask for forgiveness for those sins and then go right back to doing those same things. It's that sacrificial love. It's that selfless love that we should be imitating and emulating in our lives. Well, you may say, Pastor Devin, how do I apply this message to my life? How do I take this one step further in my spiritual journey? Well, here's our next steps for this morning. Give yourself to God and sacrifice your desires for his, and that will equal a new you with a new way of thinking. This is our math equation for today, Encounter Life. Give yourself to God plus sacrifice your desires for his. It will equal a new you with a new way of thinking. If you're with me today and you say, Pastor Devin, I need a change in the way I think. I need a change in the way I process these things. I'm going to ask you to just take a moment to pray with me right now. Let's pray together. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we come before you and we ask that you would help us to apply this message to our lives. This is easier heard than applied. It's easier said than done. But Lord, you said in your word that in this world we would have trouble, but to take heart, for you have overcome the world. So because we are in you, Christ Jesus, may we also be overcomers in this world. Oh God, help us as we go to apply this message to our lives, that our behavior would line up with your word and your will. Help us to have a change in our thoughts that leads to a change in our hearts, that leads to a change in our actions. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're with us this morning and you say, hey, I hear what you're saying, Pastor Devin, but you know, I don't know this Jesus Christ you're talking about. Well, I got some bad news and some good news. The bad news is that we all were born in sin and we all deserve to go to hell when we die. And you may say, Pastor Devin, why would you say that, man? You know, you don't know me. How do you know I deserve to go to hell? The Bible gave us 10 commandments. And the Bible says if we break one of those commandments, then we're guilty of sin and we deserve the judgment of God, which is an eternal entity in hell or the lake of fire. God gave us those 10 commandments. One of them is you should not lie. Another one is you should not steal. If you ever said something that was not truthful, even if you were joking, that's a lie. If you ever took something that didn't belong to you, whether you borrowed a sheet of paper, you took a pen from work and didn't give it back, you bought a bootleg movie or you downloaded music illegally, you're a thief in the eyes of the holy God, and that's bad news. The Bible says you should not commit adultery. If you ever had a sexual act or a sexual thought with someone you're not married to, you're guilty. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father that your days may be long. If you ever talk back to your parents, if you ever disrespected them, if you ever sucked your teeth, if you ever didn't do what your parents told you to do, when and how they told you to do it in a God-honoring way, you're guilty. That's just four of the Ten Commandments. But I'm running out of time. And so are you if you're not saved. So I didn't just come to bring bad news. I also came to bring good news. The bad news is that I pastor a church called Revolution Church, and I'm guilty of sin. The bad news is that Pastor Dwayne is guilty. The bad news is that you're guilty too. And we all deserve this judgment. But the good news is I won't go to hell when I die. Pastor Dwayne won't. And you don't have to either. Because the good news is God loves you. God created hell for the devil and his demons who rejected him. And if you reject salvation, then you choose damnation. The bad news is we deserve damnation. But the good news is that God loves you and I so much, he's given us a way to escape that damnation through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. God loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And the Bible says if you put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. If you're with me today and you say, Pastor Devin, I need Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. Let's take a moment to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all of my friends that are with me right now who need to make a decision. I pray that they would do what Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10 tells them to do. I pray that they will confess with their mouths that Jesus Christ is the Lord of their lives. And I pray that they will believe in their hearts that you, God, raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I pray, according to your word, they would be saved. Thank you for your salvation. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, and you need to make that decision, I want you to reach out to Pastor Dwayne McKinney and reach out to the other leadership at Encounter Life Church. If you made that decision today, it's the best decision of your life. Congratulations. Welcome to the family of God. And at this time, I'm going to hand it back over to Al so that he can take it from here. But I just want to say thank you all so much for giving me a few minutes with you. I surely, surely enjoyed it. God bless each and every one of you. And I'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.